This is the Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
It's the first Friday in May, and you've got Eric Scalavino, Paul Perillo here on the Roster Report podcast for the Patriots. And Paul, we have actually some roster news to talk about.
Okay.
Because not only are we a week removed from the NFL draft, where some of the newest members of the team were just drafted a week ago, we have rookie undrafted players who are reported to be signing. We have veterans who are coming back, veterans who are leaving. Let's start with the facts that we know. Confirmed reports, finally, that Matt Leit, after much deliberation, is going to announce officially on Monday that he's calling it a career, and quite a career it was, I would say. Second-round pick, was a starter virtually from day one, protecting Tom Brady on his blind side, and won three Super Bowls, could have been more, but all in all, a pretty durable, effective, off and on Pro Bowl career for Matt Leit, and he's going to walk off into the sunset having done pretty well for himself, I'd say.
I agree 100% as I'm looking at the Twitter feed to see if we've missed anything. Really interested to see what some people are going to have to say. I know that Bill Belichick will speak at the event on Monday, the press conference, and interested to hear how Matt talks about it, because something we've talked about all off season long, Matt Leit, I think it's very fair to say, had his best season in 2011. And there aren't too many guys, Eric, that get to walk out with that kind of a statement, you know, that where they can say that they played their best football and then they decided to step aside and call it a career. I applaud him for it. I wish selfishly that he was coming back for another year or two, because I think he could still play. I think the Patriots could still use him. But I really, really respect a guy who has a very fulfilling career and is able to walk away even when he's playing well. Mm-hmm. So many of these guys we've seen hang on too long, and that's not going to be the case with Matt Leit. So I'm really interested to see what he has to say about that on Monday.
Would have been probably easier and an earlier decision maybe if they had won the Super Bowl. Do you think?
I think it would have been a no-brainer. I think he may have announced
even
it.
That night.
I think he may have announced it right in the locker room or the press conference area after the game that night. Had they won, no question.
Yeah. So going forward, now it looks like the guy that they drafted last year with the first-round pick, Nate Solder, sounds to me like that's going to be his job to lose.
No question.
Over there at left tackle,
he'll start at left tackle, and Vollmer will start at right tackle. Now, health, as always, will be a major concern there. You have Marcus Cannon, available to play behind one or both. You have probably the possibility of a guy like Robert Gallery having the ability to play tackle behind one or both. And, practice squad guys. And I remember having a conversation with Dante Scarnecchia at the Super Bowl, and he talked
PFW
about specifically
favorite.
Matt Copa. He's a guy who spent the whole year last year on the practice squad. He said to me that he's
paid his dues early.
He's got something there to work on. He's got some ability. We like him. Not exactly sure where he fits, Dante said to me, but they like him. So there's a guy definitely to keep that name in mind, Matt Copa, once training camp comes, and we'll see if he has made the progress to make that advancement that so many young linemen have in New England under Skarnecki's watch, because it's been an offensive line development program here in New England, and he seems to be the next in line.
Two other confirmed moves, one of which had been rumored for the last week or so, was the re-signing of Gerard Warren on the defensive line. On and off the last couple of years with the team, though very productive, I think, when he was given his opportunities. Sometimes he was a starter. Sometimes he was coming in as a situational backup player.
Right.
But from the day he got here, you could tell he was well-liked, not only among the players in the locker room, but the coaching staff as well. And I remember,
well, I think they like his experience.
Right.
His ability to do some different things. And you know, is he a standout player? Is he the guy that got taken whatever second or third in the draft?
Pretty high draft pick. Yeah.
No, he's not that guy. But you know, maybe 15 snaps a game, 10 snaps a game here or there, provide some good leadership in the locker room. Or if you've drafted over him at this point, with the amount of young guys that you're bringing in, you know, maybe there's no room for him. Maybe you just go on from there. And but you know. I think you're right, Eric. I think he's a guy that seems to be well liked in that locker room, well respected, and by the coaches and players alike.
And now, last year in camp, Paul, defensive line was the most crowded position that we've seen here in a long time. They had 19 or 20 players at one point.
Right.
This year, it's looking like wide receiver is going to be that position. Now they officially cut one, Tyquan Underwood, our favorite guy with the high top fade. Is no longer on the roster, but don't feel bad for the position, Paul, because our old friend from 2007, the record-setting season, Jabbar Gaffney, reportedly has rejoined the team on a two-year deal. And you mentioned Matt Light having his best season last year. Another guy, Jabbar Gaffney, who statistically had his best year in the 10th year of his career.
Yeah, so he's a guy that obviously has knowledge of the system, a comfort level and rapport with Tom Brady, and versatility to play inside and outside. So I think those three things have been very attractive, because it wasn't long that Gaffney was available when the Patriots have reported, according to the Washington Post, I think was the first to report it. He had put something out on Twitter as well.
Yeah.
And told you know, ESPN's, 2 year deal. Jacina Anderson, I believe it was.
Right.
So I think those three factors play a big role, and it makes a lot of sense. You bring him back, as you said, Eric, had his most productive season last year. Patriots certainly don't need him to be a main cog like he was in Washington. But, you know, if he can come in and provide some depth and, you know, show that he can get open maybe a little bit more often than and more consistently than Deion Branch did last year, then you've gotten yourself an upgrade.
Yeah, I was going to say the thing about him is he might not be great at any one thing that he does, but he might be an upgrade over what you had last year in some respects. As an outside player, he's not the greatest we've ever seen.
Right.
But he certainly could do no worse a job than what we saw last year.
I think the best thing is that with Lloyd signing, and Fred talks about this a lot in PFW in Progress,
everybody gets
knocked down a notch.
Sure.
So now, if you think that Gaffney is an upgrade over Branch, so now you have Branch was already a peg lower in importance than he was last year. Mm-hmm. So if Gaffney is better than that, Gaffney is better than a notch below Branch last year. Now you have some depth. Assuming that everybody's happy and healthy,
right. You
have Lloyd, Welker, Gaffney, Branch. That's a solid four guys. You know, when Branch goes from two to four, I think he becomes a much better player.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who knows? There might not be room for all of those guys. So we'll see how that all unfolds. That's not even getting into the stalwarts and the Gonzaleses,
right.
and everybody else they brought in. I mean, they have, I think, 11 wide receivers right now on the depth chart. That's a lot.
And I still wonder, Paul, whether or not all of these signings at this position can be directly related to the unresolved contract issues with Wes Welker. Because you mentioned him in that rotation there, and we're all assuming that he's going to, you know, sooner or later get something done with the team, whether it's long or short term. But if it doesn't, and this stretches into training camp or, you know, even beyond, now you really have to look to guys like Gaffney, who are veterans, experienced production in this system, to step forward and maybe take the place of a guy who's been doing it for the last few years here.
Be interesting to see how it all unfolds. I know this is not the time for this conversation, but the wide receiver stuff is going to be interesting in training camp.
Right. So following the draft.
Do you have your list of undrafted free
agents? I do. I have papers here that I'm going to shuffle.
The papers? You got the papers?
You can hear the shuffling going on right there. By my count now, Paul, we have, let's see, six undrafted rookies,
right.
Who are reported to have signed. The team hasn't announced any of these yet, but names that we've heard from a variety of sources are South Florida offensive lineman Jeremiah Warren, 6'2", 330, looks to be a guard but can play on either side. of center there. Iowa had a couple of players, and that's not surprising given head coach Kirk Ferentz's close ties with Bill Belichick. Another offensive lineman, tackle Marcus Ucevic, who injured himself while working out at the combine, tore pectoral muscle doing the bench press. But good recommendation coming from the Iowa coaching staff there, so the Patriots are willing to take a chance on him and hope he's recovered in time. They also took a tight end from the Hawkeyes, Brad Herman, 6'4", 252, providing a little bit of, maybe not, you know, we'll see what he can do as far as tight end goes, but he's listed here more as like an H-back type of player. And with the two fullbacks that they already have on the team, that'll be interesting to see what the competition level is at that particular spot and how they employ those guys. Going further along here, we have news via the University of Kentucky that wide receiver and sometimes quarterback Matt Rourke, 6'5", 214, has inked a deal with the Patriots as well. Yet another receiver to add to this mix. And another guy like the one you wrote about, Jeremy Ebert, who has a little bit of quarterback in his background as well as a wide receiver, seventh-round pick.
Ebert played some quarterback in high school.
Right.
So he's almost like Edelman, you know, in that he made that transition, only unlike Edelman, who had to make it from college to the pros, Ebert made it from high school to college.
And one last rookie free agent signing that's been reported, University of Miami, Marcus Forston, defensive tackle. So strengthening, again, a position where last year you had a pretty good mix of older guys like Warren and younger guys, unproven, some of whom were injured and had to spend the season on the sidelines. But I think that's going to be another position, like wide receiver, where there's going to be a lot of competition heading into camp. And
I think you're right.
I don't think you can predict accurately at this point who's guaranteed a job or not.
And who knows how they fit. You know, who knows what Bill's going to do with, you know, odd and even fronts and – you know, like we always joke around with all the football talk, the odds and evens, the overs and unders.
Right.
You know, who knows? Are they going to do any hybrid work like last year? Or are they going to stick to, you know, some sort of base? Or they just decide, you know, we play sub so often, you know, we're going to gear it more toward whatever we're going to do in the sub packages. There's a lot of guys that can do edge stuff, like the draft picks, Beckett and Jones, maybe even Hightower factors into that. So it'd be interesting to see what happens in that regard as well.
The sixth reported rookie free agent signing just happened moments before we came down here for the podcast. Our friend Chris Price from WEEI reported that the Patriots were close to signing Mississippi running back Brandon Bolden, 5'11", 220, who has some physical similarities as well as alma maters to Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, who just departed here via free agency.
Yeah, 220 pounds. You know, more as a little bit more of a physical guy. I mean, there's definitely some similarities there to Benny.
Decisive. I'm reading from my notes from the pre-draft process. Decisive, hitting the hole, deceptively fast in open space, doesn't shy from contact. Some scouts questioned a little bit his maturity and desire for the game in the reports that I was reading, but the Patriots certainly needed to add at least another body or two to that running back core. And I'd
still expect a veteran free agent. We've been talking about basically for the whole pre-draft process, on PFW in progress. So I think we're all in agreement on that.
And before we wrap this up on this Friday, Paul, I think we'd be
done already.
I think we'd be remiss if we didn't at least
make fun of Andy.
Well, yeah, he's not joining us today because...
Just so you know, he's lifting.
Yeah, he is.
Those of you who are used to hearing Andy with me on these Friday podcasts.
Right. But very quickly, before we leave, I think we should just mention very quickly the sad news from this week about Junior Seau, a guy universally adored in this locker room, not only here but in San Diego where he spent the bulk of his career. And even down in Miami for a few years. Stunning, tragic news. I don't really know what to say about it more than I just hope that something good can come out of this, whatever that might be, whether it's helping other players who are, you know, struggling with their post-football lives. You never want to see anything come to that drastic a level for anybody, you know, especially somebody who had so much to live for and had so many people who were willing to help if he needed it. We remember him, we'll always remember him, I think, Paul, for his smile and for his very famous catchphrase, "Hey, buddy," or "Hey, buddy, buddy,",
buddy.
Depending on, you know, how close he was to you. But everyone, it seemed, was a friend to Junior Seau, and this week we're mourning his loss on both coasts. So rest in peace, Junior, and
well said.
We will see you next week on the Patriots Roster Report podcast. Have a good weekend.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.